the Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Ottaker, Taylor Zodin Controls, the executive secretary, for the hearing today. Before we begin, I'd like to get into some general information. First, the presentation is an order of presentation. First, the applicant and or owners will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings necessary to grant the variance have been met. The applicant should also submit their declaration of posting at this time when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. And if there are any members of the public that speak in opposition to the project sponsor will be allowed a 3 minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the hearing, I may choose to continue the matter to a future hearing date close the case, close the public hearing, and make a decision today, or take the matter under advisement with a decision at a later date. There are three items on the consent calendar today. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak on these items, they should step forward. Otherwise, those three items would be granted when they are called. There's also one item that will be continued to a future hearing date. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda, and members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same classic district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of the hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet that is on the against the far wall. That's extremely important because the decision letter itself is the appealable document, and that is appealable to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance of the decision letter. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we encourage parties to meet and to discuss, we would please encourage you to do so out in the hall. The next variance hearing is scheduled for February 22nd, the third Wednesday of the month is the typical variance hearing schedule. Audio recordings of variance hearings beginning with the January 1st, 2011 hearing available on the Planning Department's website as a link from the hearing agenda. That is all. We can move on to the items for continuance.
Associated correction, the next variance hearing will be Wednesday, February 22nd.
Thank you. So Wednesday, February 22nd is the next variance hearing.
27. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. And we can move on to items for continuance.
Okay, we have one item in consideration for continuance, and that will be item number one, case number 2012.1093V, 1529 Jones Street, also known as 1521 to 1531 Jones. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. This will be continued to the Planning Commission weekly hearing on Thursday, March 7, 2013, at room 400 here at City Hall.
So we will be continuing this item, 1529 Jones Street. The reason for continuance is that a discretionary review request was filed during the Section 311 notification period. So we will have a joint hearing with the Planning Commission. As noted, on Thursday, March 7th, the hearing is typically at noon. I imagine this item would be later on the calendar, but the calendar for that hearing will be published the Friday before the hearing. Again, that's March 7th, down the hall in room 400. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on the continuance of this item? Seeing none, we continue this item to the March 7th hearing, the joint hearing with the Planning Commission, and we can move on to the consent calendar items.
We have three items in consent calendars. These are the following cases. Case number 2012-0870V, 2840 Broadway, side yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Item number three, case number 2012-0954V, 797 Corbett Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Item number four, case number 2012-1244V, 619 Union Street, open space variance sought.
Is there any member of the public to speak on any of these three items? Again, that's 2840 Broadway, 797 Corbett Avenue, and 619 Union Street. If there is no member of the public, then we would be granting these three items. So seeing that there are no members of the public to speak on any of these three items, we decline to close the public hearing on all three items and grant the requested variances, and we can move on to the regular calendar.
Item number five, case number 2012-0482B, 571 21st Avenue, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Tony Lee. I'm the designer for this project at 571 21st Avenue. The proposal is to convert a single-family house to a duplex, which is on the zoning of H2, by adding a third story and converting the ground floor to unit 1 and second and third floor to unit 2. We are adding about 643 square feet. The structure is on a non-compliant but legal use of a single family originally. And since the structure is already built on the rear portion, we are not thinking about relocating it, so we're just adding a third story. So any questions, I'll answer.
Thank you. Do you have the year the building was constructed?
I don't have that information.
So while it was, I believe it was 100 years ago, it was not found to be a historic resource.
Right, and we have gone through the CEQA application. So we're asking for granting the variance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item? And again, that's 571 21st Avenue. Seeing that, we close the public hearing on this item. We incline to grant the request of variance, noting that the subject building is an existing legal non-compliant structure, dwellings in the rear of the subject lot. While it is not a resource, it was constructed prior to the current planning requirements for rear yard, and that is why it is a legal non-compliant structure. We can move on to the next item.
Item number six, case number 2012-0852V, 639 Peralta Avenue, front setback, rear yard, and exposure variances sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Dr. Vasquez with YACDU. This is a continuation from the last hearing, so I'll give kind of a refresher and also just let you know what happened in the meantime. Since the last hearing, we had the 311 posting go out. That has expired, I think, January 4th. We didn't, to my knowledge, we didn't have any DRs requested on the property. We also met with the neighbors, several of the neighbors who were here at the last hearing, and we sent made sure that the drawings got to some of the neighbors who were concerned that they weren't on the initial pre-application mailing list. I think some of the neighbors are here, but just a refresher on the project. Basically, we're asking for both front and rear yard setbacks. It's a small lot between... Basically, we're proposing a two-story with basement, two-unit building. Both units would be about 995 square feet, so it's about the minimum size to get two-bedroom family dwelling units in there. Both adjacent buildings actually extend deeper into the lot than the proposed structure. But basically what we're doing is responding to the immediate context by having a deeper lot along the, or a deeper proposal along the north side of the property line, and then setting back along the south side where the building is a little bit shallower. We're also proposing a front yard variance, or requesting a front yard variance to match the building to the south. One of the concerns that the neighborhood expressed, that the neighbors had expressed last hearing, was possibility for street trees on a narrow sidewalk like this. We have been in contact with Chris Buck of the Department of Urban Forestry, and he went out and surveyed the site. We're still waiting on the utilities to, I guess, come out and mark where all the existing utilities are, and that'll determine, I guess, better or help inform where the street trees can go. From my last conversation with Chris, he seemed to think that we had a good chance of getting the street tree in there because our garage is only 20 feet, and we have the other 15 feet to work with, and we're pretty flexible on where that's going to go. But in either case, we're pretty committed to getting some greenery and street trees on the property.
Yeah, I just would note that Section 138 of the Planning Code does provide a waiver for if the Department of Public Works cannot approve a permit to install a street tree, then there is an in-lieu fee, which I believe is approximately $600. So in the event that one cannot place a street tree, there is a process for that. And thank you, and we'll go to public comment, and you know, also be given our rebuttal. So again, we'll move to public comment for item number 6, 639 Peralta Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
That's not very much. Good morning. Allison Perry, I live on 440 Franconia, directly below the property. At the hearing last month, we heard Mr. Sanchez instruct the applicants. The architect, Mr. Skew, was here to work with the neighbors and come back here today with some solutions, at least compromises. I think Mr. Sanchez specifically said there are solutions. He preferred that we work together. He looked forward to seeing what we did together. And he heard their specific suggestions. My neighbors and I are concerned about runoff, and I know my neighbor specifically said he'd like to see a written plan and sort of specific report on the underground springs and some of the soil issues. And it seemed clear to me, and I think everyone else that was here, that the process required at that point was for the developers and the architect to initiate gestures of compromise and communication with us to help us understand the project so that we wouldn't be opposed to it anymore. And I can speak as one of the most affected neighbors that no reaching out was done besides I emailed that I still didn't have the plans and the plans were sent to me. The applicants should have made it a point to come to us and, you know, talk us through this project and gain our support, and they've completely missed the mark on that. The Peralta neighbors initiated a meeting. The architect developers did not initiate that meeting. And from what I heard, they can talk more about that. It really seemed like there was just feigned concern, and here are the plans, and nothing moved, nothing has changed. So, you know, it seemed clear to me that between then and now, what was supposed to happen didn't happen. And we're still upset about notification issues. And just the way this is being handled, it doesn't seem like they're caring to hear us. And I go back to those five factors that seems that the burden would be on the applicants to prove that, you know, that isn't going to be material detrimental to the others involved. And I still see issues with losing privacy and light because of the variances. And so I'm here to object my, or concern, state my objections or my concerns again, and try to understand how this process works.
Thank you. So you said the concerns about the runoff and the underground springs, and the runoff would be something that would be addressed through the apartment building inspection and when they get to the,
absolutely,
if they get to the site plan phase. But wanted to see if you had specific, you know, two or three specific kind of recommendations that you would like to see out of the project. I mean, they're seeking a front setback variance and rear yard variance as well as the exposure. So and do you have any specific comments?
I guess the rear yard, I just, if you're asking for a variance, I guess what I pictured happening is a compromise, you know, where you want to take half of, so it's 30 feet, and they want to go 13 or 17, I can't remember which way, but, and that there would be another sort of attempt at maybe pulling that back, or the fact that the hill, if you go back, you're also kind of going up. There's a real effect of towering over the neighbors. The neighbors that actually are not allowed to speak, and myself. So I guess that would be my suggestions. You know, I know my other Franconia neighbors just feel like it should just be done to code. I mean, it's going to be two units, it's zoned that way, but what? Why does it have? What is the proof that it has to be taking up more land?
I know the adjacent properties would meet the current code requirements, and so the proposal would extend into the rear yard, but it wouldn't extend any further than the property to the north, and there is pretty substantial notch or offset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't think that is sufficient?
When I saw the plans, because I didn't get the plans until after the last meeting. I don't know, somehow it was in everybody else's mailbox but mine, but I did get them, and I was actually pleased with, you know, the use of space, I think it's, and the fact that it was only half definitely helped. But I also, what I realized was how high the building was going to be, so then that was kind of a neutral. But I don't know that there's any limits, or that the height doesn't involve a variance. I guess they can go as high as they've projected without any.
Well, that's correct. That there's no, one can't seek a variance from height, so the overall height complies with the planning, but that's certain portions of the building that are within the front, rear, mm-hmm. you know, are subject to variance. So is it the overall height of the rear then versus the height of the front? Because it's only two stories at the front. So it's more the height of the rear that is a concern.
Right. Well, I think it's the height with the, it's the variance going back, and since it's a hill, it's, it adds, as high as it is, then it's an area, it's a calculation of area that's just being covered, and this towering effect, where if it was flat behind me, then if it came out 15 feet or whatever it is, it doesn't,
yeah,
okay. So, anyway.
Thank you, Ed. Okay. Appreciate it. And we can move on to the next member of public for item number 6, 639 Peralta Avenue.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I'm Clee Felberg. I live at 650 Peralta. I'd first like to hit the topics that were just discussed in your comments about the property to the north being having a big setback compared to the property we're talking about. The property to the north was part of the property that we're talking about. There were two combined lots that were split by the developers somehow. I'm not sure exactly how that happened. But that property to the north is under a gag rule by the developers to not object to the project as part of their purchase of the house. So they have essentially rigged the system so the neighbors can't complain. That house to the north also, that large setback, that house was built turn of the century when probably setbacks weren't a concern. So that was one of the first houses that was even on the block. There's like two houses that the developers use as the precedent for building this house, both of which don't have garages, both of which were built around the turn of the century. When there's only two houses on the block, built turn of the century, horse and buggy days, that's not really a precedent for what is happening now. In terms of the street tree and the request for plans, I have requested plans. He didn't send plans to me. I emailed him and asked him for plans. We did not get a set of plans. The street tree, I'm glad to hear he's making some progress on that. That's really important to me. I had to reach out to him and ask him, how's it coming with the street tree? He responded with something about similar to what he said today. I want to have a street tree there. I want it to be solidified here before he can proceed. I know you maybe can't do that here, but I want a real assurance that that's going to happen. I don't see a planter box with a street tree right in front of the door really working that well. I don't see any houses. I've looked for houses that have street trees that are right in front of the doorway. And he has two doorways and a garage, which is basically three entrances, a solid entrance on the front. So a street tree on the sidewalk next to three solid entrances is very cramped, and it doesn't work well for those going in and out of the house. So perhaps it needs only two entrances, a common entrance for the two units, and a garage instead of three entrances. That might fix the problem. But again, to Alice's point, we met with him, we initiated the meeting. He didn't come to us after the last hearing. He didn't initiate any contact with us. We had the meeting, he kind of listened to our concerns, and he was friendly and polite, but beyond that, he made no efforts to say, okay, here's what we're going to do for you. Okay, here's how we're going to fix it. Thank you.
And just a question. So the plans, you received the variance notice, presumably, and...
The 150 feet thing that supposedly that happened in January, we didn't get that.
It was actually mailed in December. So there was a 30-day notice of 150, but then all owners are not within 150 feet. And then there's also...
December of 2011?
2012. So it was last month.
Oh, well, this was happening long since last month.
Yeah, so the notes for the... So the notice for the 311 notice expired on January 4th, and that would have gone out 30 days before, so this would have gone out and mailed out the first week of December. And also on the variance notice itself, there's a link to the plans, and also on the calendar,
there's
a link to the plans.
I saw the link to the plans,
okay,
and they were too tiny to read, really too tiny to grasp what was going on fully. I emailed him, asked him if we could get a bigger set of plans, and he did not respond.
So you did see the plans. Okay, then.
I saw tiny plans, but they're really, you can't even read the words on the plans on the internet. You can't read them.
You can zoom in.
I'm sorry, I beg to differ. I tried zooming in. Once you explode it to that size, the resolution isn't sufficient to see what the writing actually says.
Okay.
You can't read it.
Look at that. Thank you. And then the street tree is actually a planning code requirement. And so the first requirement is that the street tree has to be planted. And so if they cannot plant two trees, this is going to be implemented with the Department of Public Works. If the Department of Public Works will not allow a street tree, then the process is to pay the unlimited fee.
Okay. But are they based, is there any guarantee that that will happen then, I guess is my question. Okay, thank you.
It's part of the review process for the building permit.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So next member of the public for is item number 6639 Peralta Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. We've been about to last time on behalf of the block, but we had some other members as well. I just wanted to, I don't know if this made it through to you, but I wanted to submit this map of the block that one of the neighbors came up with that shows the rear yard on the entire block.
And does the sponsor have a copy of this as well?
It was emailed also to
Mr. Okay. Okay. Field.
Great. Okay.
So it shows the rear yard of the entire block. So if you look at the two adjacent properties, you can see that they do match that. And just from personal experience, I did go and look at the house during the open house when it was for sale to the north. And I was shocked when I walked up the back yard and saw the deck and just tried to imagine what it would be like to try to use that yard the way that it's developed. So seeing two units, two buildings right next to each other that have that, I'm just wondering what's the real justification for doing that? Is it just the fairness, or is it, so we've got a property company that's involved selling this?
I have a question for you. So I'm looking at your map, you titled Exhibit B, and the property to the south on your map, the building wall is substantially shorter than what's shown on the plans.
I'm not sure what happened with the Mayflower. You can see the garden that kind of goes through there. It looks like maybe one property is missing, possibly.
Right. Well, the plan, what you have here for the lot directly to the south doesn't appear to be accurately represented.
Okay, I see, but I think you already established that those two properties are kind of similar to the post.
I'm just saying, what you give it to me doesn't appear accurate.
Okay. Well, if you see the rest of the block, I mean, I think that it may have been taken off like a Google overhead satellite view, so maybe it doesn't match the map plans. But anyway, if we were to look into the actual plans, I have a feeling that you would see that. And I, just from my personal experience, I mentioned it last time, we have a property that has a deck. It was unpermitted. We had to rebuild the deck. There's properties on either side of ours that have decks that are of a certain size. One's permitted, one's not. And we were, the planning office made us take it in 2 feet. So we have a 4-foot deck behind our property. Lots of space. So I'm just wondering, a 14-foot difference, when we were meant to, it's just a personal issue. I don't really understand why that's okay. That we have a four. I walk out into my deck. I can see this larger deck. I can see that larger deck. We had the plans. We submitted the plans. They said no. This isn't it. Go back. Redo them. Take 2 feet off. So my two kids, get a 4-foot deck. And then, of course, they love to play in the backyard. But I'm just concerned that two families in that property, and they're going to have very little green space in back. It's, I don't know how healthy it is for the city plan. I'm not sure what exactly what city plan is, but
that was your time. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay. Is there any other public comment on this item, item number 639 Peralta? Any further public comment, item number 639 Peralta? Seeing that, we, Councilor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So just to address some of those issues that were brought up. Just looking back at this drawing, just in terms of discussing the amount of open space per unit, I think what's apparent on the site plan that we're showing here is that the size of the roof deck that we're putting up on the roof of the second floor is actually larger than the amount of space that we're taking out of the rear yard with this rear yard variance request. So we're actually providing more open space than not, or than would be, I guess, required, or release that would be available if we weren't asking for the variance. In response to the comments about the gag rule, what that was a disclosure to the person who was purchasing the property that we had discussed the intent and the application for this project so that they didn't think they were buying a property that was always going to be adjacent to an empty lot. So we had, I think it was just a part of the disclosure package during the sale of purchase. And then regarding the two lots, it's my understanding that the two properties were never combined. It was always two separate lots. So that was not part of this process either. And then I didn't know if you had any further questions for us.
Yes, thank you. A couple points. So, again, with the adjacent property to the north, so they have it, there was a disclosure. You made a disclosure when they...
So when they were in escrow, their agent contacted us and asked us to email them drawings of what the proposal was at that time, which is basically a duplicate of what we currently have. So then I believe that between the two listing agents, they had to sign a document saying that they received those drawings and that they understood the intent of these rules.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that point. And then after the last hearing, we had asked that the parties meet and discuss and look at compromises. The neighbors have stated that you didn't initiate action, that they had to. Can you address that?
They contacted me before I contacted them, that's correct. It was all prior to the 311 notification and prior to this hearing, so I thought we had plenty of time still. We did exchange the emails with the one property owner that didn't receive the drawings, I guess, from the pre-app. She had purchased the property after, or she had moved into the rental property downslope after we had done the initial neighborhood outreach meeting, so there was some concern there.
You addressed the neighbor who stated that they contacted you for plans and did not receive?
That's the first I've heard of that. He was at the meetings that we had in December. I had drawings with me there. No one requested additional drawings. Everyone seemed to be pretty clear as to what the proposal was. So
then as a result of these discussions, there have been no changes made by you or your clients?
There weren't any changes to the drawings. I think I spoke about this last time. There was some concern with the neighbors to the south about some of the windows that were facing towards their property, and we had reduced those, and that was part of the application that we sent to Benfu. So that was the only physical change we made. What we have done is just our continued work with the Bureau of Urban Forestry to see if we can confirm whether or not a street tree is going to be allowed here. So I addressed that earlier. The other conversation we did was we followed up with our soils engineer who had initially done some borings and just confirmed that as part of the process for this, we're going to mitigate any runoff issues and not cause an issue for our downslope neighbors.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So with that, I'll close the public hearing on this item. And I plainly find that there are facts sufficient to justify granting a variance. However, that deals with concerns about the overall height of the rear, and the residential design team has reviewed this and found that it's the second story of the building, but it reads as the third story of the rear. They have found that is meets the residential design guidelines. I would like to take the matter under advisement at this time to consider possible changes at the rear that may set back that top story a little bit from the rear. That said, I would like to have that in discussion with the residential design team and have their seek their advice and input on it. So at this point in time, again, closing the public hearing, inclined to grant a variance, but I will take the matter under advisement and consider specifically the addition of the rear. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 7, case number 2012.1571V, 49 Grace Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. Is the sponsor for this project here?
Yes.
Could you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm the owner of Thunder, the owner of South Country. So the project calls for a remodel of an existing single-family home. In the last 5 feet of the property, right now there's a non-compliant structure in regards to the 25% rear yard setback. And the last 5 feet of the structure right now has a slope roof that is lower than the rest of the building. So, and the condition of the building right now is, throughout the years, I've taken a bit of a beating. There's some leaking in the roof, and structurally, it's not as sound as before. So, there is an urgent need for a remodel. But so what we're proposing is to raise the height of the structure by 3'8". And having said that, raising the height in the non-conforming portion of the structure triggers this 25% rear yard setback. And the total length of the lot is 56'8". So if we are to conform to the 25% rear yard setback, we're basically shortening the house another 13 feet, which sort of defeats the whole purpose of a remodel. And also from our findings, the buildings within proximity, there's no rear yard space presented within the proximity. So, and lastly is that the overall height of what we're proposing is still lower than all the adjacent buildings. So that's why this is the case that we're proposing. We hope for a variance on this issue.
So you know they'd be raising the height of the building, which is full lot coverage, and it's a substandard lot to begin with, given the size, it's very small dimensions. You said you'd be raising the building 3 feet. That's part of the renovations. Why do you need to raise the building 3 feet?
Because right now the first floor, the ceiling height is actually less than 7 feet. So we would like to make the downstairs habitable. And also I want to add that what we're proposing is a courtyard.
in the middle of the lot, and we're trying to get as much open space as we can. And by doing so, we can just pour new footings and still reuse the existing footing on the rear side of the house. And this, the property owner undergone some financial problems throughout the years and try to get this project going. And with this 25% rear yard, which this will increase some of the unanticipated costs to the project.
And then the section 311 notification is, I think it was just recently issued, and expires on February 21st, is that correct?
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Is there any member of the public to speak on this item? It's item number 749 Grace Street.
Hello, I live next door at 55.
Can you please speak closer to the mic? You can bring it down. Thank you. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I'm at 55 Grace. I'm just speaking on behalf of the project, and we're anxious for it to go ahead. I'm speaking for all of the neighbors who are totally for the project. We're excited to see it happen.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public for 49 Grace Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3 minute rebuttal, but it was commented for it. So with that, I'll close the public hearing on this item and be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that it was an existing legal non-compliant structure and that this is the only feasible way to make upgrades to modernize the building. And with that, can we move on to the next item?
Item number 8, case number 2012.1166B, 68 Potomac Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Currently permitted and built is the area of green shown in the plan here, which is from this point to this point is 6'5¼". Due to the atypical shape of the yard and the setback of the our property and the adjacent property, the rear yard setback has a jog in it, and so that really encroaches into the usable area of the yard, not to mention the available space to add on a deck. What the proposed deck variance issue is adding 1'6¾" to the rear yard to make the deck a little bit more usable. Show that here. Basically, you can barely notice that anything has changed. I'm going to outline the area in question for the variance. That area is 16 square feet. That's 1'6" and 3/4" into the rear yard setback. The next diagram shows what we could do due to the setback. What's allowable. That old red area is 71 square feet that could be added, and this also starts to encroach on the neighbors to the side, getting into their personal space, their deck, perhaps even looking into their home. So the proposal, while it encroaches into the rear yard setback, which is an atypical situation for the area, is significantly less area than what could be done. So again, this is what's proposed, is 16 square feet more deck versus 71 square feet.
Thank you. Is there any member of the public to speak on this item? Item number 868 Potomac Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Initially, I was very skeptical of the proposal, given that there is already a compliant alternative that's been approved, and I think the project sponsor has a compelling argument, given what could otherwise be built under the code, and acknowledging that the variance itself carries a condition that does prevent other construction, even if it may be within the buildable area. The zoning administrator still has to review it, and in this case, we'd be making findings that the variance is justifiable because what could otherwise be permitted under the code, and this is the variance is for less than what could otherwise be developed. So this would prevent future development of that portion of the deck, which you did highlight, show what could have been built. So you would be trading that off for what you're getting through the variance. So again, it'd be planning to grant the requested variance, closing the public hearing. You know, so there's no building permit application yet on file for the proposal, but one will be filed, and the required section 311 notification would be effective at that time.
Item number 9, case number 2012.0803V, 3150 Jackson Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for the project. I'm here with Ali Sadeghi, the owner of the project. I think that the five findings are fairly well addressed in the application. This is regarding an existing non-conforming structure in the rear yard that has been rebuilt. I was brought in to correct a previously incorrect permit situation. I hope that we've done that by dotting the I's and crossing the T's. We've also dealt with a neighbor situation that was unfortunate and has been corrected. To be very happy at this point. This is a block that's experiencing a lot of construction right now. We'd like to see this project completed and are doing our best to do that in a way that's correct in the eyes of the department. So I'll make myself available for any questions. And I don't mean to be too brief and leave things out, but I think that the issues are fairly well understood given the history. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 93150 Jackson Street. Seeing none, I'd be inclined to close the public hearing. As has been noted, this is the result of an enforcement action. This was brought to the department's attention by neighbors who had concerns about the construction that was being done through the process, and it has taken some time because given the age of the building, it did have to go through historic review, additional environmental review. We just received word this week that all the environmental review has been completed and the categorical exemption granted. I appreciate everyone's patience through this. I believe that we will not see this kind of work done in violation of the planning code again, and be inclined to grant the requested variance under certain conditions, and get the public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2012.1250D, 4014 to 4016 25th Street. Rear yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Henry Canelo. There was a variance that was granted for this the subject property back in the 70s, I think it was. And it was for quite a large addition at the rear of the property. However, the people at that time did not complete that process, and they never actually did add the that section onto the rear of the building. They did, however, build a deck, and they never got to get the permits for that. So what we're asking for right now is a variance to be able to keep this deck that is there right now, and it was a rear porch that also has been slightly extended, so that's pretty well it.
Thank you. So as you noted, there was a variance granted previously to legalize this. It was worked on without permit. Variance was granted, but the building permit was never sought obtained to formally legalize the work. Now, cleaning up the record again, through this variance, there was some questions raised about the firewall, potential need for a firewall along the side property line, the east side property line. I believe a neighbor has expressed support of the current proposal to legalize, but not if it requires a firewall. That staff has informed you that if a firewall is required, we need to come back for another variance. Just to make sure you understand that if that's the case. And you have, I'm assuming you've had discussions with the Department of Building Inspection, and they stated that a firewall would not be required.
That is correct. If we need to, we'd probably reduce the size of the deck so we're not into the firewall. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Is there any member of the public to speak on this item? And again, it's item number 10, 4014 to 4016 25th Street. Seeing none, you close the public hearing on the side of the appliance. You grant the requested variance again, and I would again note that if a firewall is required, then modifications would need to be made to the deck, or another variance would need to be sought. Again, public hearing is closed. I'd like to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item 11, case number 2012.1153V, 4259 24th Street, rear yard and non-complying structure variance is sought. The sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Ms. Scott. My name is Andy Levine. I'm the architect for the subject property. The request is to extend the existing spiral staircase that goes up one story from the in the rear from the ground to the second story. We want to extend it to the third story. There's an existing metal ladder that goes from the second to the third story for exiting, and it's not approved by the current building code, so we'd like to extend the spiral staircase. We had a pre-app meeting in the building department with Inspector Jeffrey Ma, who indicated that, or has approved that as a legal exiting from the third floor. We have a proposal in to remodel the third floor, but that's all within the rear yard setback. It's the spiral staircase that is at issue. We're putting a railing at the existing roof deck, in the which extends into the rear yard. And I don't know if that's part of the variance. It's in the writing.
So you can have a deck on an existing legal line compliant structure, provided that it is minimum required by the building code and open. And so the height of the railing of the deck is the minimum required by the building code, correct?
That's correct.
And it's transparently clear glass.
That's correct.
We were just conditioned as such in the variance decision letter that it be clear glass, because if it was made of solid material, then it would be subject to
it. No, it's a clear glass and with panels in it, so that it's also protecting the birds.
Excellent. Thank you. So, with that, do you have anything else to add, or are we moving to public comment?
There are other staircases in the, on the rest of the block. There are, I don't think we're setting a precedent, but I don't know of any objections from the neighbors. But.
And it's just extending an existing spiral stair to the upper level, so it's not, we were not adding a new spiral stair. It's, the spiral stair is right there.
And nor are we adding any footprint.
Excellent. Thank you. So again, is there any comment on this item, item number 114259 24th Street? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. We incline to grant the requested variance with the condition that the railing of the deck be clear glass and also bird safe as required by code. And would note, you know, the section 311 neighborhood notification is out on this and expires on February 2nd, 2013. Thank you, and we can move on to the next item.
Item 12, case number 2012.1407V, 3974 to 3976 18th Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. So right now we have existing stairs which are falling apart, so we have to replace the stairs. And part of doing, in replacing the stairs, we have decided to add a few, couple of decks, one on each level, because it's a two-story, two-unit building. And as you can see, the stairs are pretty, they're falling apart. And the stairs are pretty much on the property line. And the new deck, and including the stair that we are proposing to build, is going to be within the 12-foot pop-out, which is allowed. And it's also going to be in such a way that it doesn't obstruct or cause any problems to the neighbors next door. The next door neighbors, they have a driveway to the right or to the left, as you can see, the one which is going to be next to the deck. And so there's going to be no building. Even if that building were to fall apart, then with the 45% pop out that they have, because their yard, I mean, their plot is a little smaller, they cannot build anything up to that property line where the deck is going to be. And it's just a little portion which is going to be just 3 feet, which is on the property line, and the rest is set back further, like 3 feet. And then, and part of the reason is because we have the existing door, which kind of prevents us from going all the way out 5 feet, because it's about 3 feet from the property line.
And so, I did have some concerns about this when staff briefed me on it. So it doesn't actually meet the 12-foot pop-out requirement. If it did, there would be no need for a variance. And that's the 12-foot pop-out under section 136C of the 25 planning code. And I wasn't persuaded by the argument that there's an existing door there, but just brought to my attention that you have the breakfast nook, and I believe it's the dining room that's on the ground floor.
Right.
And so it's actually an existing extension of the building that you're going to be putting a deck on top of. So you're not actually building out a new deck, building out a new envelope. It
right.
is something that is existing and that you're going to put a deck on it. And my concern was the firewall that would be on the adjacent side property line. And it's also been noted that that side property line on the adjacent property is a driveway. It's not
right.
part of your yard. So I just wanted to clarify those points. But, did you have anything further to add?
No, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, and that's as it's shown in the plans.
And then the neighborhood notification is currently out and expires the 26th.
Right. And we had the section of the neighborhood meeting, the pre-app meeting, and all the neighbors actually were very happy
okay.
to go on either side because we are improving what's existing right now.
Great. Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks.
Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 12, that was 3974 to 3976 18th Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. We decline to grant the requested variance of the standard conditions, and we can move on to the next item.
Item 13, case number 2012.0369V, 380A Cap Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. So you're the project sponsor?
The project sponsor is not yet here, but he's on his way.
Okay.
He also is the sponsor for item number 17.
Okay.
Would it be possible to return to this?
Sure. Thank you. Sorry. And, no, that's fine. Thank you for letting us know. So we'll move this item to the end of the calendar to be heard with item number 17, the same project sponsor for both of those items. And so we can move on to
item 14, case number 2012.1072V, 101 to 109 DuBose Avenue. And this is for rear yard modification variance sought. 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Jeremy Shaw, Project Architecture, Gabriel Ng Architects. Proposal is for a 10'6" addition to an historical building, variance for rear yard and dwelling unit open space, pardon me. The existing building is 80 feet long and a 40-foot lot, so there's only a 10-foot rear yard on the existing building, and the proposed addition would also have a 10-foot rear yard because it's historic, so we want to have the setbacks and the open space on the front and side because it's a corner building. And it was also mentioned that the open space requirements, because we're doing an addition to the building, the existing 5 units don't have the required open space, so we'd be requesting a variance for that as well.
Thank you. And so this building was the subject of fire damage in last year.
Correct.
Do you know the cause of that fire?
It was an electrical panel in the basement.
And do you know any other details about the cause?
It went off and it's undergoing repair right now. It was red tagged, everything's out.
It would note that this was reviewed by preservation staff, and looking at the setback at the front, it is a shorter than usual dimensional lot, and also higher. I mean, this is not going to really be from the
Right. This is the parapet is actually 4'6" tall, so there's zero visibility from the street with a 10-foot setback.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on this item? Item number 14, 101 to 109 DuBose Avenue. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I would also note the Section 311 notification expires on February 9th. So when it's on Saturday, it goes the following Monday, so it's going to be available. Then we can move on to the next item.
Case number 15, item number 15, case number 2012.1089V, 26 Commonwealth Avenue, side yard and non-compliant structure variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, how are you? I'd like to submit a letter that we just received in support of the project. It just came in. We're seeking this variance because the historic position of the house in the lot is eccentrically placed laterally. The house extends beyond the required side yard. And so the primary reason for the variance was to align the addition with the historic house, with the position of the historic house. Also came up in our discussions with the department that we would need to seek a variance for change of use or the creation of habitable space within the historic garage. So we've received a variety of letters about the project. There's a letter that addresses access for the neighbor through the other side yard. This is access that has been used historically to maintenance the garden of the property to the south. The project, as proposed, doesn't change the relationship between the homes there, and so I don't think that that is kind of germane to the variance discussion today. The owner of the property, of the subject property, is in open dialogue with the neighbor about that access to that yard. We received a letter about light and air as it relates to a neighboring property, but the proposed project maybe was misunderstood by the person that composed that letter. They noted that the house would be three stories, and although it's three stories of habitability, it's really, I would say, two stories in appearance at the backyard. And a neighboring building to the north is quite a bit taller and eclipses this project entirely. I'll show you an elevation of that. So the area in orange is the neighboring property to the north, which also applied for a variance for the side yard. But they have the same kind of eccentric kind of placement. But beyond that, they built quite a tall attic story, which maybe would be considered a third story, I guess. And the outline of the building is much, much larger than our subject property. I'll go back to this one, sorry. The dotted blue outlines show the extents of the buildable area, subject to the design guidelines. But the proposal, I think, is fairly modest in terms of its footprint and its height. The height was reduced to accommodate the neighbor to the north. We contemplated carrying the original roof line all the way back and then lowered it so that they could have light and air to their quite tall third story. So I think the silhouette is not very imposing, and the footprint, the request for side yard variance seems modest to me. The garage structure and the proposal to change it to play space for the children and or office space, casual office space for the adults in the evening, is a kind of use that has been adopted, I don't know if legally in the neighborhood through variance, but is a common pattern of use for those historic structures.
The neighbor to the north, the one with the large silhouette, in fact, uses their cottage as an office. We have friends that live a block away who also have abandoned the use of their garage and use it for a play space for their children. So it seems like quite a common function of those historic rear yard structures. There was a concern in that the structure itself was neglected and with a prior owner fell in or somehow fell down in a way that created a hazard. The proposal would, of course, rehabilitate the structure to make it safe.
Thank you for your presentation. Let's move on to public comment and see if there's any public comment on this item, item number 1526 Commonwealth Avenue.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay, hi. My mother was the sole purchaser of 30 Commonwealth in 1974, the house to the south. I grew up there, and the house is essentially in a trust. My sister and I will be the owners of that house. And so to clarify what the previous speaker said, the owner has not been in open dialogue I've never had a conversation with them about this issue. I have some concerns, not so much about the sunlight issue to the north and the development to the north. My concern has more to do with the access to our garden. I guess I'll just go ahead and read sort of a summary in short. The occupant of that house, 26 Commonwealth, Jean Freudenberg, was the owner and grew up and lived there from roughly 1930 until she passed away in 2011. The house was sold to the new owners who have created this proposed expansion. And during my 40-plus year history with 30 Commonwealth, the yard garden of the house has always had a side door through which any large items have been transported to the street and vice versa. Since 1974, the use of the walkway at 26 Commonwealth was always understood as necessary to access the yard garden at 30 Commonwealth. And I can certainly take photos to provide that. This was always understood by the owners of 26 and 30 Commonwealth, and to access the garden in the back of the house to transport anything from cut down trees to a kid's playhouse, it would be necessary to access through that side entrance of the garden. This was always done without notifying Jean Freudenberg. It was just always understood as sort of common sense that this access arrangement was necessary. This is, in fact, the only accessible means to that garden. There's no entry to the south of 30 Commonwealth, no entry to the east. And I believe under the law, this is called an easement by necessity and or a prescriptive easement. And, you know, we have definitions on that. So, you know, essentially, I'm not seeing that continued in the proposed plans. You know, both my sister and I have young children. We have a 3-year-old, she's a 6- and 10-year-old. It's possible that someday our family or my sisters might want to live there. But in any case, and the yard might want to be developed with further equipment, in any case, whoever is going to live there, this is an issue, because there's nothing that I see in their proposal that will continue this ease of access. We're not combative by nature, we want to be cooperative, but I think it's important that the new owner operate in compliance with existing neighbors and within the parameters of the long-standing neighborhood and the law. And I just hope an agreement can be reached that preserves that easement. Thank you.
Thank you. So the project is still maintaining a 3-foot side yard on the south side property line. So I guess I'm confused as to why you're saying that they're preventing access.
Well, the you mean the proposal? We're talking about the proposal.
Yeah, there's still a 3-foot side yard.
So in other words, their basement, they're proposing a garage. In other words, what you're saying is that the existing driveway, walkway, accessway to our garden, when, for example, we can't transport a tree through our house, and we've literally had decades of ease of access, and we're perfectly reasonable people. We never had to, like with the previous owner, we didn't have to call her. And it was, yeah, go ahead. So I just want to make sure that's maintained.
Maybe you said it right.
Okay.
We've never been through this with Dennis, so, you know, obviously they're and we haven't talked to them about it. So maybe you can help us understand a little bit more clearly. If the driveway is kept like it is, and there's always been this easement, does there need to be anything in the new plans mentioned about it? Because
there is no easement, my understanding. You don't have an actual deeded easement.
We don't have a deeded easement,
so
but...
So any claim of prescriptive easement, it's my understanding that this is not a planning code issue. But
sure.
My understanding that is something you need to proceed with the courts. If you have a claim of an easement, prescriptive easement, that would need to go through the courts. So the planning department would not be involved in that. But they are maintaining, I can only, you know, point to a couple facts. Is, you know, one, they are maintaining a 3-foot side yard and they're putting a new concrete path along the side, south side property line. So I don't see how access would be limited there. And then also on your property, don't you have a 5'9" side setback on your south side?
No.
No.
There's no access. Just to let you know, the measurement between the houses starts out from here to here and ends from here to here on the south side house. There's no access at all on that side.
Okay. Maybe the project sponsor can speak to that, because the plans that they're showing show a 5'9" side setback on the south side.
A person can't squeeze through. I'm not sure. The current access way is definitely wider than 3 feet. So what you're saying is their proposed plan is 3 feet?
Correct.
Also, I would dispute this thing about there not being an easement. I mean...
Oh, okay. Well, then I think we should have actually not discussed that any further.
Right. Okay.
That's
fine.
A matter that
that's
right. I mean, we're hoping
that's the thing you need to work out with.
Okay. Well, we're hoping that there's some
right.
Degree of common sense,
just
so we don't
so
have to,
we understand,
you know,
the
process.
There's no.
We're not eager to tie up thousands of dollars in a court case with him over.
But yeah, that's something that you guys need to work on.
And how would So in terms of the inaccuracy on the plan, how would that get fixed, or is that, important?
We can ask the project sponsor and we can verify in the field, but the, you know, what is, what we're speaking about here today is a variance, and it's a very limited variance for a couple feet on the north side property line, which has no effect on anything that is, you know, you have concerns about. But it is more of a private matter, civil matter, if there is no agreement on access to the rear.
Let me ask you one question. When you say at the outset you mentioned those findings, and you mentioned, for example, resulting in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship, was finding number two out of those findings, the criteria for justifying the variance. I mean, if there's, I don't even think 3 feet wide of access is going to be sufficient. And my concern is it will create unnecessary hardship. And the preservation and enjoyment of
the property. This is a civil matter.
Okay.
So we have no stake in what you are claiming as a, you know, a prescribed easement. So that is
you're
something
talking
that
the 5 points that you listed at the beginning.
Right. So they need to meet the requirements of the planning code.
Okay.
And what you're raising is not something that is subject to our jurisdiction. That's something, again, that is a civil matter that you would need to work out.
Okay.
With the adjacent property owner, if you're unable to do so, then it's my understanding. Then again, I'm not an attorney, that you have to pursue that in a court of law, your claims to an easement over that.
So you're saying that their proposed plan offers 3 feet of essentially a passageway that is 3 feet wide from the street to our garden?
That's how retail plans, and I would ask you to confirm that with the project sponsor, but they can speak.
And in their, in the drawings they gave you, they have suggested in their drawings that there is a similar passageway on the house's south, on our house's south side.
That there's 5'9", but let's
a
have
5'9" passageway.
But let's have the project sponsor speak to those 2 points, and then we can resume with public comments. So, is it the project sponsor? So, if you could just speak briefly to those 2 points, and then we'll resume public comment. But first, being that you would be maintaining a 3-foot side setback on the south side, and then second, that the adjacent property to the south has a 5'9" side setback, which those owners are claiming is not exist.
You have 3 minutes rebuttal, sir.
Archibald, let's take this out of time, and we'll give a separate rebuttal.
Okay. The design calls for 3'6" of clearance between the proposal of the side of the house that would border their property. it was just pointed out to me by Abby that owns the subject property that the gate that, that serves for this historic access between the properties is about 2 foot, she thinks, or maybe let's give it 2'6" to be generous. And so just to be clear, I don't think that that would be the most constrictive point on the service route between the properties if there were to be deemed an easement between the properties. We didn't mean intend to make any claim that that there was a service alley on the other side of the property. And right. If that's an error in footprint, we apologize. We didn't mean for that to suggest that there was access there.
And that wasn't my assumption. My assumption is just that there is a side setback of 5'9". So not, I mean, and how that may be developed is up to the owners of that property. But it appears that that there is room along the side of the property at 30.
Of the neighbor's south side?
Yeah.
I believe them if they say that there is no distance between their houses there.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable to me, and we don't think that this is particularly accurate there. We thought it was, but if we had made an error, I would...
Does your plan just show a 5'9" setback from 30 Commonwealth between their side building wall and the side property line, and then another 2'11" between the property at 36 Commonwealth and the side property line. So that's on the full site plan that I have here. And I think on the color drawing it shows
a distance between the buildings, and that may be inaccurate.
Okay.
And if so, I apologize for that. But we weren't indicating that to mean that there was access for service there versus in the alley that maybe is historically used.
Verify the accuracy of the plans and provide that information back to staff, please.
Yes.
Thank you. And with that, we'll continue on with public comments. I just wanted to get those questions resolved, and we can, the next members of the public for 26 Commonwealth Avenue, it's item number 15.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Ann O'Grady, and my husband, Stanish O'Grady, live at 31 Parker, which is on the east side of the property. And the plan that was just shown shows that our garage actually is right up to their shed, which is not accurate on the plan. So we're actually opposing that their said garage get the variance for the office or play space, because basically that used to be our back wall and is about 8, 10, 12 inches from our fence. So we're actually opposing that because we feel that with their construction of the main house that they could put the office and or the play area into the main house, because they're doing all the work right now on that. The other thing is, just from listening to this, it sounds like there's a required 3 feet on the north side, the east side, and the south side. And I don't believe that any of those have the required 3 feet. I can tell on our side that their garage is within a foot. I haven't measured it, but it's within a foot.
So the garage, just to, sorry to interrupt, but one more time. But so the proposal is to convert the existing garage into habitable space.
Right.
And that, no increase in the size of that building.
Correct.
And they're just converting it from the storage to the habitable space, but it won't have any dwelling or anything. It won't even have any plumbing to it. It'll just have electricity.
They want to put in heating, and they want to turn it into an office or a...
Right.
But there's... Well, in the future, they could put plumbing in.
We haven't gotten this far, but it would be my intention that a variance was granted that this be limited to not allow plumbing, and that if they do come back for plumbing, that they would be subject to another variance request.
Okay.
But you stated that the plans are inaccurate in how they did the property.
Well, it shows that I believe behind their garage is, I don't have that plan that they have. This building right here. I'm not sure what that is, because that's not our garage. Our garage sits forward, right almost to our house.
Oh, so your garage is not, you don't have a structure in your rear yard next to that?
No.
Next to the building. Okay, and then if I can understand better your concerns about the conversion into the office.
Well, this is right on our property line, basically, and that it's within, it's within 8 to 10 inches of our property. We lived there for 22 years. Their rear wall actually used to be our fence line.
Okay.
And when they mentioned that the building had gone into, it imploded, We had young children at the time, so we put up some lattice work just so our kids wouldn't get in there. Because literally, the whole building was flooded. There were raccoons living in there, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway.
What is that? I understand what the concern is.
The concern is that there would be intensification of the area with people living basically in our backyard.
Noise.
And noise.
And so the structure to the north in orange is a perfect example of that. And I think the project sponsor said that.
Sorry, they speak in the microphone, so we can get you started.
And I think, excuse me, the orange shed or garage to the north is a perfect example of that. It's constantly got a lot of noise, teenagers, parties, and so forth, that the parents, you know, frankly encourage their kids to go out there. The project sponsor claimed that that's a widespread use in this neighborhood of such historic structures, and, you know, frankly, in addition to an inaccurate drawing, we think that's inaccurate. We've lived there for 20 years. And I think that the only example of that is the structure to the north. And I would also point out that that building to the north, which again, some of my friends and neighbors of ours, is relatively overwhelming in scale for the neighborhood.
Going to the north of the project? Okay.
Yes, where the project sponsor characterized this as relatively small, given what I think they used as a silhouette.
Okay, thank you.
I think the city is trying to intensify green space, not building space. So I would say that if there's any way they can incorporate the office or play space into their new construction, it would be fabulous.
Well, this is an existing building.
I know.
And it should be to demolish the building.
And we have an existing building too, and we had to build it wall by wall, and we kept ours as a garage, which it is, it's a garage. And all the neighbors around us use it as a garage, except for the one to the north.
Because there's no requirement that they have to continue using it as a garage.
No, I understand that.
So they could convert it to, you know, they could have a workshop and have bandsaws in there.
No, I understand that. I'm just imposing, putting heating in and making it a space where it's another habitable space. I mean, if they really need another habitable space, I don't know if that's up to them, but I'm opposing putting heating in so they can actually have an office or a playroom when they're actually doing a big construction project on the main house. That's my opposition. Okay. Because it literally sits, as you can see, the corner on the
it's
south side.
On the property.
It's right there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And is there any other public comment on this item, item number 1526 Commonwealth Avenue?
I just want to ask a question.
Sure. You already spoke, but if you have a quick question.
The inaccuracy on the drawing to the south side of our house, 30 Commonwealth, you know, there's a glaring inaccuracy. What happens if he's inaccurate here on his plan, what happens if construction gets going and they make their thing and they say, oops, sorry,
I'm about to address some of that. So any other public comment on this item number 1526 Commonwealth Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
I think we spoke to the access issue sufficiently in that there's no change to the nature of the space for access. To the property to the south, there is still a pedestrian accessway that at its narrowest point is 3'6". The existing constrictions of the gate make it apparent that there will be no greater restriction in this proposal. As far as the proposed use of the garage, I think that it's the owner's sense and my sense, having grown up in that neighborhood with friends that live on Commonwealth and Jordan Avenue, the historic garage structures are part of the contextual fabric there and are kind of a fun characteristic of the area. And so if the other choice is to remove the structure, it seems like a loss for the neighborhood to me. I think that the reason that we think the use is not intensified is that it will be the same children and same family occupying this property and enjoying the backyard or the structure as it is. I would think that if the kids are playing inside a well-insulated, well-built structure, that would be less intense than having them play outside in a larger yard. But whether that's true or not, it's still the same family members and their guests enjoying the property. There's no intent to put plumbing in this building. The application is for electricity and heat, and upgrading the structure so that it is structurally sound, waterproof, and up to current standards.
And can you speak to the accuracy of the plans?
The footprint of the neighbor to the south, we believe to be accurate on the north property line. On the south property line, I understand that it's inaccurate. I understand that. There is a freestanding garage structure to the east, and it is closer to the house. Can't see that there, but I don't think we are extremely accurate about the position of the neighboring houses as they abut the subject property in the area of the house. The freestanding garage structures were not surveyed, and so we're just basing that on Google Earth. But because we were not changing the position of any new structure or existing structure in that location, we didn't survey it.
And the rear building, as you noted, will not have any plumbing, it'll just be electrical, and the project sponsor would be willing to accept the condition limiting it to electrical only.
I believe so, is that right? Yeah, I mean, that's its intended use, it's always been its intended use, so, yes.
The building permit has been filed, but Section 311 notification has not yet been performed, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So, but do you have concerns that we have plans that may be inaccurate. So given that, and also given the fact that the neighborhood notification hasn't even been performed yet, there's no kind of immediate need to have a decision on this case today. I would continue this item 1 month to February 27th, which is our next variance hearing. And I would like you to review the plans and to correct the plans and also to discuss it down and meet with the neighbors and discuss this further. Would note that there is no variance for the rear building because it's not actually being converted to a dwelling. It's just accessory space, so that's not subject to the variance. The variance here, it's also part of the variance for the intensification of the structure. So we do have the variance for the intensification of the structure and for the side yards.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe I'm sympathetic to the proposal and would agree that having conditioned play space, which is insulated, you could have, you know, sound batting in there, and you could deal with noise that way. It's actually less of an impact than having playing in the yard or mm-hmm. having a workshop in the garage and having chainsaws or bandsaws, etc. I think generally inclined to grant the requested variance, but you know, maybe there are some additional mitigations that can be done to changes in the rear building that would satisfy some of the neighbors' concerns and also satisfy everyone's concerns about the accuracy of the plans.
Absolutely, I understand.
So we'll keep the public hearing open, continue 1 month to February 27th, our next variance hearing, and again, verify that the plans are accurate, make any needed changes, meet with the neighbors and discuss alternatives. And again, the side access issue is not something that is for us. That's again, if there's no easement, even if there is an easement, there's still private agreement that private matters, and the city's not responsible for or obligated to enforce those. But again, it probably would behoove you and clients to discuss that with the neighbor and see if they work out some equitable means of access. And again, continue to February 27th. And
so, if there are no recommendations that you have about the other aspects of the envelope of the house?
No, not at this time. And okay. You know, we'll take another look at the plans as well during this time and have a discussion, but I don't have any further comments or guidance at this point.
Thank you.
Item number 16, case number 2012.1056B, 126 27th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. The sponsor here, you have 5 minutes, sir.
First of all, Stephen Antonaris, I'm the architect for the project. That's the declaration of posting.
Thank you.
Sorry, I brought the wrong name.
I did.
So this proposal is part of approvals for a new dwelling unit in the rear that replaces a non-historic, non-contributing garage that's in the backyard of a two-lot property where the main house is actually a landmark. So this project has gone through the Historic Preservation Commission, actually on two occasions. The earlier design for this small dwelling was of a different configuration, and it received a certificate of appropriateness back then. We have gone through just last month the HDC again with this revision. Still basically the same concept of a small dwelling. It's a little larger than previously proposed. So the variance is especially required in this case because of the unique circumstances owing to the property. It is a single, separate RH1 property on which really legally is just a garage right now. So owing to the property rights to at least have one dwelling on it, the owners are proposing a very modest, extremely modest, actually 500 square foot studio cottage to replace the garage. So that's the bulk of the proposal. There will be cedar shingles on the exterior and lap siding on the property line walls where it abuts close to where the garage is now, same location. There's not really a lot more, I guess, I need to say, or do you have any questions?
No, Ed, you hit on the key issues of the Historic Preservation Commission review as well as the unique configuration for a lot of building on the lot. But I think we'll move to see if there's any public comment on this item. Is there any public comment on this item? It's item number 16, 126 27th Avenue. Seeing that, we close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances of the lot and the existing landmark building and its configuration and how it can over the lot. There's no building permit application on file yet?
There isn't, and I had one technical question for you. There was a small error on the first mailing that misquoted the square footage.
That's correct. That has been corrected in a subsequent notice, and the it's 500 square feet for...
500 square feet instead of 300 that was quoted. So how does that affect the approval? Does that, do we now wait for that letter, that second letter, mailing?
We corrected it through the notification, I believe Ms. L.A. did perform the updated mailing on the variance. It is correctly shown on the calendar today. The APC count notices were correct, and the poster was correct in my understanding.
Right.
So I think given that, and also there's no building permit yet, so the building permit will have the correct information, and people would have the ability to file a discretionary review if they had concerns about the project, but I feel that the neighborhood notice is sufficient for this variance, and we can act on the variance today.
Today, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Again, the comments that grant the public hearing is closed, and we can move on to...
Actually, we're going back to item 13.
Yes.
Item number 13, case number 2012.0369V, 380A Cap Street, rear yard and non-compliant structure variance is sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
My name is John Walton. I'm the architect for the project owner. And the proposal here is to relocate an existing non-compliant rear cottage that's been there for since 1907. We did an historical assessment. The building was found to be non-historic or significant. And so the proposal actually is to relocate it approximately 7 feet to the rear to take advantage of a non-usable rear space and then therefore enlarge the space between the front building and the rear cottage to make that more usable. And in so doing that, we achieve 25% of the total lot depth between the front and rear building, which we think is also important. It will also help us rework the rear stair of the front structure and make that stair be within the setback lines. The other reason for moving it is that the side yard right now is approximately 2.5 feet. And in the process of moving it back, we're also moving it over 9 inches to take advantage of a gap that exists between this structure and the cottage next door of about 9 inches. And then we will achieve a 3-foot space, side yard space, to allow us to put windows that are compliant. We had one issue with the adjoining neighbor relative to her window, which faces, it's a property line window that faces our side. We went back and re-measured, climbed the roof and re-measured more accurately that condition and discovered the fact that her building is higher than we anticipated and the window will not be covered. And gave her that information and she was satisfied.
That's the two-story building to the north, is that right?
That's the cottage, two-story cottage to the north.
At the rear.
At the rear. It's an existing cottage similar to ours, but slightly set back from ours.
My understanding of the neighborhood notice, the 311 expires today.
It expires today at 5 o'clock. Right. We don't anticipate any issues. I've not heard any issues except for this one.
Excellent. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? Item number 13380A Cap Street. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the building for purpose not increasing it is moving closer to the rear, that it is not a usable space, it's actually improving the rear yard of the subject building. And we can now move on to the
last item, case number 2012-1432V, 161 Edgewood Avenue, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Brian Fox. I'm a project sponsor for 161 Edgewood. We are proposing to construct a single car garage, a projecting single car garage at the sidewalk. Zoning is RH1D. The lot slopes steeply away from the sidewalk on the west side of Edgewood. And our grade across our required front yard ranges from the mid-50s to mid-60s percent. And therefore, under section 136, we are allowed a garage within the front yard setback. What we are asking is for permission to build against the property line, which would require us a variance from the side yard. The prevailing development on the west side of the block includes a lot of projecting garages, as shown in the overhead ink on the sandboard. Many of these are built up to the property lines, and the two properties on either side of ours have garages on either property line, so we're in effect hemmed in by garages on the sides. So, respecting the 3-foot required setback causes some problems. One, because the lots are sloped so steeply, the front doors are quite high from the sidewalk, and you need a lot of stairs and terraces just to get down. So pushing the garage 3 foot in constricts the space available for stairs, which also impacts development of usable front yard space. It would probably be geometrically possible to get the stairs in, but certainly is a much more confined solution. Additionally, if we pull the garage in 3 feet off that north property line, it's going to create a 3-foot slice of dead space between the existing garage to the north and our new garage, which I don't think serves the block face very well at all, and is not in keeping with the other garages that are there. Another technical problem is that the existing house is set back only 2 feet from the property line, so a 3-foot setback at the garage actually undercuts the house, which architecturally is weird, but also structurally creates some problems. The neighbor to the north is in support of the project, and we could document that if requested.
And 311 has not been sent out yet, so we our planner has deemed it ready. I just haven't put the check in the mail to make it go.
Okay. Well, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item on 161 Edgewood Avenue? Seeing none, I close the public hearing on this item. I would grant the requested variance. Would note that there is a code-compliant alternative which would have this centered more on the lot, as been noted. So not only from a design point of view is that not a preferable alternative, but also it would reduce the amount of on-street parking. So by moving this over to the side, it maximizes the amount of on-street parking that can remain here. And so with that, we can plan to grant the requested variance. And that is the final item. And so move on to general public comment. If there's anyone who has general public comment for items that were not on the calendar today, I see a gentleman you have. Would like to come forward. Were you waiting for a particular item here today, or?
Yes, I am. I'm Lauren Hooks. I'm an architect, and the project in question is 797 Corbett Avenue.
So 797 Corbett Avenue was heard on consent at the beginning of the calendar, and that was granted.
Okay.
Are you the project sponsor? Or?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay, so you sorry, I didn't have you wait all the time, but variance was granted, and so if you have the mailing or the
I do.
Then you can have that forward, yes. So yeah, that was called at the very beginning of the calendar at 9:30 or shortly thereafter.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, so with that, seeing there's no further public comment, the closing of this variance hearing. The next variance hearing will be on Wednesday, February 27th, in this room at